Tweet at TodaySOR.
Next, we go to Iraq and an important moment, perhaps, in the ongoing battle with the increasingly assertive ISIS.
That plume of smoke behind me is a village that the Kurds say was set alight by jihadis as they retreated. The Kurds are confident they are steadily pushing back the Islamic State. But while we've been here, there have been a couple of incoming artillery rounds. There's some fight left in the jihadis yet, at least on this part of the front line.
And that was the BBC's Paul Wood there at the Mosul Dam in Iraq, a huge piece of infrastructure, the destruction of which would have had enormous implications for literally hundreds of thousands of people there. And the recapture of this dam by Peshmerga forces, backed by American fighter jets, has been called a big step forward by Barack Obama in the battle against the Islamic State. Yesterday, President Obama spoke about the significance of this recapture.
Today, with our support, Iraqi and Kurdish forces took a major step forward by recapturing the largest dam in Iraq near the city of Mosul. Iraqi and Kurdish forces took the lead on the ground and performed with courage and determination. So this operation demonstrates that Iraqi and Kurdish forces are capable of working together and taking the fight to ISIL. If they continue to do so, they will have the strong support of the United States of America.
President Obama speaking in Washington. With me now, security analyst Tom Clonan. Clearly, Tom, an important moment, but still a lot of business to be done.
Yes, I think this is the opening battle in the long war against the Islamic State. And there are, in addition to the military action on the ground, there's some very strong symbolic action here. The commander who was in charge of the Peshmerga troops, and they managed to get 5,000 Peshmerga, they're describing them as special forces, into this area around the Mosul Dam. And they're led by a guy called General Mansour Barzani. Now, he is the son of President Massoud Barzani, who is a regional governor in Kurdistan, or the, you know, evolving, I suppose, de facto Kurdistan. And one of the small things that people might miss here is that this was a joint Iraqi army led and in the main manned by Shia Muslims, a joint Iraqi army and Kurdish operation. And even though it was led by Marzani, they allowed an Iraqi Shia general, a guy called Lieutenant General Qasim al-Musawi, to actually put the Iraqi flag on the dam at Mosul. So that's a very significant development, and it sends a very, very clear signal to the warring factions in Iraq that it is possible to have unified, if you like, national action as opposed to ethno-sectarian strife. But the battle for the dam itself is quite interesting. Quite a small number of Islamic State fighters were holding this position, this vital piece of infrastructure, about 500. And the Kurds deployed 5,000 against that unit. So that, I suppose, in military terms, is the equivalent of sending in a brigade plus against a battalion. So in terms of the exchange ratio, it's quite a significant movement of men and equipment. Now, it's also significant that the Peshmerga were able to manoeuvre 5,000 troops across, and the full axis of advance towards the dam was 24 kilometres of contested ground. And just in terms of ammunition, petrol, oil, lubricants, vehicles, these were supplied by the Iraqi military. Now, these are the Iraqi military who allegedly ran when Islamic State troops encroached on Tikrit, Baiji and Baghdad itself. So here they are now supplying most of it, American supplied equipment, to the Peshmerga on this concerted assault on Islamic State guerrillas. So the Americans and the newly emerging Iraqi government are sending a very strong signal to Sunni hardliners that they are prepared to take them on for the long run. In terms of the dam itself, this is a massive piece of infrastructure, but very poorly built. It was assessed by the US Army Corps of Engineers post-occupation, and they felt that it really needed to be, I suppose, dismantled and rebuilt. But instead, because it's built on porous ground, so there are lots of cavities underneath, it's subject to erosion. And basically, it needs to be constantly pumped with hundreds of tons of liquid sand and cement, a material called grout. So the whole piece of infrastructure is becoming unstable. And the Islamic State militants put a number of car bombs along the top of the dam. So this was a very difficult, tricky operation. And with drone strikes and close air support, just 35 to 40 pinpoint airstrikes, they managed to dislodge these rebels without destroying the dam.
And Tom, the wider, I suppose, and the background political picture is that this the appointment of this new prime minister in Baghdad, Haider al-Abadi. And the question is he going to be more conciliatory in drawing in the Sunnis and giving them a role and influence in a way that his predecessor al-Maliki didn't do? And at the same time, one reads suggestions that, for instance, if he doesn't do that well, I suppose the Islamic State is seen as something of a plan B or an insurance policy for disgruntled Sunnis in Iraq.
Well, President Obama has been criticised a great deal, I suppose, somewhat deservedly for his foreign policy positions and his foreign policy posture. But I think the Americans have managed something of a stroke here in that they've, in a sense, killed two birds with the one stone. The international media have been speculating upon, you know, mission creep and will the Americans have to send boots on the ground into Iraq? But Obama put it to Abadi, Haider al-Abadi. He said, you must consolidate now. You have, you know, less than a week to form a government of national unity. He said this yesterday because, and I quote, the wolf is at the door. Sunni extremist hardline militants are advancing down the Euphrates and Tigris valleys towards Baghdad itself. So they have literally, he put a gun to their head. So the boots on the ground issue has now been solved. And Haider, well, to some extent, in that Haider al-Abadi has released literally, for example, the Iraqi military have over 1,200 US Humvees, and the Peshmerga advance on the Mosul Dam over 24 kilometres, and they had a firefight and a major engagement requiring airstrikes at every kilometre of that 24K stretch. And that was an armoured advance, and the armoured vehicles, the armoured personnel carriers and Humvees were supplied by the Iraqi military. So Nouri al-Maliki did not release that kind of equipment and infrastructure to the Kurdish Peshmerga prior to his leaving office. So the Americans have managed to release that equipment on the ground, and as the Americans, as Obama put it himself, we now have viable partners on the ground so that we can avoid mission creep. So it looks like,
but have they though, Tom? Have they got enough by way of viable partners on the ground? I mean, David Cameron over the weekend and yesterday, for instance, was talking about taking on these monstrous fundamentalists, which he says, if they're not dealt with, will pose a threat to Britain. And he's talking about the Islamic State. And as we know, they're not just active in Iraq, they're also active in Syria. And the question is being posed now by people, you know, in Britain as to whether they need to perhaps grit their teeth, hold their nose and start working maybe with the Abad regime in Syria to deal with them on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, again,
Assad regime.
Yeah, the Assad regime. Yeah, some people would describe it as a bad regime. But if you go back and look at the American intervention after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, they armed and equipped Sunni Mujahideen, who eventually morphed into the Taliban. Fast forward a couple of decades into Syria, and you have a Sunni insurgency fighting the Assad regime. The Americans arm them, equip them, and they morph into Islamic State. So the Americans have some experience in this regard. Now, the only, I suppose, hopeful sign in all of this is that, similar to al-Qaeda, the Islamic State have been very, their brutality, their militarism, their extremism has alienated them in many respects from the populations among whom they move and seek to control. And there's very little support for the Islamic State amongst ordinary Sunni Muslims. There has been in both Syria and Iraq a tradition of Ba'athist Arab nationalism amongst Sunnis. And they tend to be secular in nature. They like to have a drink. They're in favour of women in the workplace and women participating very fully in public life. And that was a feature, albeit, you know, given the reservations and the health warnings that attach of Saddam's regime and Assad's regime in Damascus. So the Americans will be hoping that they can they can promote resistance against the Islamic State amongst those Sunni populations and tribes where they are active at the moment. And they did that successfully during their occupation. They had a program called the Sons of Iraq program, and they did effectively arm and equip Sunni tribal leaders against Al-Qaeda for that reason, that they were repugnant to the sort of normal secular Sunni outlook. So there is, I suppose there are some, I think what the Obama administration have managed to do is they've managed to pull the iron out of the fire before any other major cities fell. ISIS, I'll just finish on this, the Islamic State are probing at the moment. Up until now, their occupation has been in predominantly Sunni areas. Their attacks on the Christian towns of Partella, Tal Kaif, Karapash, their move towards down the Tigris Valley. This is the first time they've come into contested ground. So the Americans have managed to contain them by air support of Peshmerga and Iraqi troops on the ground. Now the long war will begin to try and degrade and erode their capabilities within Iraq. And
yeah,
Syria.
I'm just looking here, I have it in front of me, a two-month-old copy of Time magazine, and the cover story, the heading on it was The End of Iraq, and which was a reasonable, and it wasn't put up with a question mark, it was a reasonable enough cover, I suppose, to put out at the time. But maybe they might have to revisit that question now, given what's happened in the last 10 days or so.
I was actually in Al-Anbar about three summers ago, and I was there, I was taken to the Al-Tanf border crossing, and I saw over 1 million Iraqi refugees in Syrian territory. And the Assad regime handlers who brought me to that location said, look, this situation speaks for itself. That whole area, what we're experiencing now is blowback, or if you like, the mission creep, which is a direct product or a direct flow from the US invasion of Iraq and the subsequent destruction of its infrastructure along and the rebuilding of that along ethno-sectarian lines. I think we may see an autonomous Kurdistan. We may see an autonomous Sunni region within Iraq and the Syria area, and also a Shia area to the south. But, and I hate to sound cynical about this, the fundamental priority for the Western powers and all of this will not so much be the geopolitical lines on the map and the end of the Sykes-Picot agreement of 1919, but what they will be looking at is to guarantee the supply, undisrupted supply of oil in a period of peak oil and failing energy security.
And just as we finish our conversation, Tom, I see breaking news on Sky saying that fighting has resumed at the Mosul Dam there in northern Iraq with jets seen overhead. No doubt a story we'll continue to watch and observe. Tom Clonan, security analyst, thank you for coming in. We'll be back with the 20th anniversary of the murder of the criminal known as the General, Martin Cahill. That's after this break.